Bible, let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. And I probably got an odd message tonight, I guess. I'm really debating about this all day, to be honest with you. And I feel like it's the Lord's will. I want my words to be seasoned with salt. I want to preach basically what I preached this morning at Brother Chris's. And of course, it was pastor appreciation, so I preached about pastors and preachers, and so I want to try to preach about that tonight. And anytime you do that, and then you're a preacher yourself, you know, I sure don't want to come across like I'm trying to pat myself on the back, or that's the farthest thing from my mind. But I would like to say I thank God for preachers, don't you? Amen. And, you know, where would our lives be without a preacher? You stop and think about that, where our lives would be without a preacher. And book of Hebrews chapter 13, very, very familiar. Well, I don't know about familiar, but very interesting text. Matter of fact, I never had preached from this text until this morning. In Hebrews 13, the writer here says in verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Remember them which have the rule over you. Of course, I knew that's not meaning in a dictatorship. I'm totally against that. The Word of God is against that. But it's just saying those that God has placed as far as leadership positions in that local assembly. And it tells us to remember them. Well, in verse 17, same chapter, the Bible said, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. And in verse 24, the Bible says, salute all them that have the rule over you. Now, when you read the word salute here, it means to greet all of them. And so I want to try to preach tonight on thank God for the preacher. And I know that's a little different, but I hope I can say something that would edify and upbuild the kingdom of God. Help us pray, would you please? Father, we thank you this evening for your love, for your mercy. Thank you for these precious, precious people, Lord, who we love and pray for every day. I thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've done, saving of souls, bringing in families, God, meeting every need that the church has. And we thank you. I appreciate you for some of the greatest people on the face of the earth right here at Summit. I mean that, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that let my words tonight be seasoned with salt. Let them minister grace to the hearer. Let me say exactly what the Holy Ghost would have me to say in this service. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Now, there's another very interesting scripture found in Ephesians chapter 4. That talks about the preacher, that talks about a pastor, talks about evangelists and missionaries. And matter of fact, it calls them the gift that Christ gave to the church. Amen. In verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 4, he says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, talking about Christ, he led captivity captive and gave, what's the next word? Gifts unto men. Verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Of course, it gives us the reason, the purpose for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You mean there's people out there in the world that's like that? There is. Huh? You ever have somebody knock on your door and want to give you a watchtower? Huh? We've had Mormons to come visit us in the last year. Amen. Wanting to, you know, bring their craftiness and their deceit. That's what they teach. They're not saved. Don't mean that mean or ugly, but they're not. They don't hold the truth. But anyways, verse 15 said, but speaking the truth in love, amen, talking about these prophets, these teachers, these evangelists, pastors, and so forth, that we may grow up into him, Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This text plainly states that God has set some in the church, and some prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Of course, in today's terminology, we have missionaries. Amen. We have campus ministers. We have street preachers. We have, I got a letter today, or opened a letter today, from Sister Saylor, prison ministers. And, I mean, all sorts that God has, amen, put in the field, in the labor, in the work of the Lord. And I want to try to preach on thank God for the preacher. Amen. Now, there have been several scriptures in my life that God has put into my heart, into my mind, amen, that has helped me as a preacher. Amen. One of them, the Bible talks about that Paul said that he was not Lord over God's heritage, but he was their joy helper. That's in the Bible. Amen. And so in the side margin of that verse of Scripture, amen, I have pastor / joy helper. Can you imagine that, having a pastor who is supposed to be a joy helper? That's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, amen, in verse 24. I want to read it again. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. I want to preach on thank God for the preacher. Now, I don't know about you, but I guess my heart been praying about this pastor appreciation for Brother Chris. Now, I know it's a little odd tonight, and I want to talk about all preachers. I'm not talking about me. That's the farthest thing from my heart tonight. Amen. But I'll tell you something. You ever thought where you would be without a preacher? Huh? Really? Let's take a few moments here. Where would you be, your life would be, without a preacher? Amen. I wasn't raised in church. My first recollection of a preacher is when I went to church. Amen. As a teenage boy, and different preachers would preach, but I guess my first closeness to a preacher is the man that I got saved under, Brother Doug Webb. Amen. Pastor's there, and he's preached here for us. Amen. I was 17, but Doug come to that little church in the hills of Kentucky and preached, amen, that revival back in 1983. Amen. Now, I thought this week, as I got closer to preach this morning for Brother Chris and got to praying about it, my mind went to preachers and, amen, of the preachers that have touched my life. I want to tell you, friend, I think God has put a premium, amen, on preachers. Matter of fact, through the entire Bible, amen, even in the Old Testament, it talks about touch not my anointed, huh, and do my prophets no harm. Now, God is saying, hey, amen, there is a gift that I have gave to that local assembly, to the body of Christ, that is the preacher. Amen. The pastor, the evangelist. I got to looking and writing some things down. And I'll tell you something. I thank God for the preacher. Huh? I thank God. Matter of fact, last year when I was here, when it was my 25th anniversary of being saved, you know what I did on that day? It fell on a Sunday. I remember very specifically, amen, what I preached that night right here, amen, at our church. I preached on thank God for Calvary. That day was 25 years. You know what I did on that day, Brother Bram? I picked up the phone and I called Brother Doug Webb, who I hadn't talked to maybe in a year or so. And I said, hello, Brother Webb. Do you know who this is? And he said, I think it's Brother Rick. And I said, yes, sir. This is Brother Rick Simpson. And I said, you know what today is, Brother Webb? And he said, no, sir, it's June the 29th. He said, I don't have anything on my mind. I said, well, today is 25 years later that I got saved in one of your revivals. Amen. And I'm telling you, amen, you could tell the excitement and the encouragement that come to his voice. Amen. He began to just, you could just sense the joy, amen, in the excitement in his voice. You know what I was doing? I was encouraging the preacher. Amen. I look back and I realize, amen, of course, I know it's God. I know it's Christ. I know it's Calvary. I know it's the blood. I'm not taking away from all of that. But the Bible said, how can they hear without what? A preacher. Amen. I'll tell you something. I think if you want God, amen, to bless your life, amen, you be good and be thankful for the preacher. Amen. I'm not just talking about me, because most of you have had many preachers, pastors, and preacher friends in your life that has touched your life in some way or other. And my text said, remember them, obey them, think about them. Amen. Praise God for the preacher. Amen. Mike Bolan sings that song, thank God for the preacher. Amen. I began to reminisce. And I began to think on where I would be without a preacher. I'd hate to see my life, Sister Veda, without a preacher, amen, that gave me counsel. My dad wasn't a Christian, amen, but it was the preacher man. I remember, and I've told this here, but I even shared some things that I want to share with you tonight. I've had five pastors, amen, in my 26 years of going to church. I want you to listen to me. I've had five pastors. Amen. My first pastor, now my first instance was Brother Webb, an evangelist, not even a pastor, but just a young preacher boy. Of course, he's now, amen, in his late 50s, and I'm now 43. Amen. And time has come and gone. But I thank God for Brother Doug Webb, because that's not the only time that Brother Webb has helped me in my life. There have been times of critical times and changes in my life that I've called Brother Webb and asked for prayer and knew that Brother Webb would pray. Amen. I had five pastors. My first pastor's name was Brother Burkhead. Let me share a few things with you. Amen. I don't want to bore you. I'm watching the clock. Amen. I know it's a little different tonight. Amen. But I really felt, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you really? Amen. So here it is. Amen. I'm just trying to obey the Lord. His name was Brother Albert Burkhead. Amen. Y'all didn't know him, but he was a Church of God man. He wasn't my pastor for about 2 months. I began to reminisce this week. I thought, now, Lord, amen, I was just 17-year-old. What do I think about? What can I remember about this man that only pastored me for about two months? Amen. And then he resigned and moved on. Of course, that's the Church of God. But I never forget. I thought, well, I remember Brother Burkhead praying. I remember his wife. I can see his face in my mind. I can see his wife. She had one of those old-fashioned beehive hairdos that the Church of God used to wear. Y'all, anybody remember those old beehive hairdos? I remember Sister Burkhead had one of them old beehive hairdos. And one thing that stands out when I think of my pastors that touched my life was I remember he was a man of prayer. Matter of fact, he prayed so loud, amen, that it irritated me as just a young teenage boy. Boy, I couldn't hardly even pray beside him. You think Brother James prays a little loud. I mean, James prays quiet. He prays like a Baptist compared to Brother Burkhead. I mean, he just, oh, God, we thank you, Lord. And he just went, I mean, I'm thinking, my goodness, you can't even concentrate. Amen. But I remember that. I remember, amen, I remember him being a man. And here's what I want you to, here's what I want to emphasize, that you could tell he knew how to pray. You know, you can listen to somebody pray, and you can tell if it's their first time in 6 months. Or you can tell if they've been on their knees in private prayer with God. And I don't want to just lift up Brother Scotty Grooms tonight. I'm telling you, when old Scotty prays, you can tell it ain't his first time in a few days. I mean, you can tell he's got that relationship. And so when I look back, amen, over my life, and I see a young boy, 17, and a young pastor, or wasn't really a young pastor at that time, but Brother Burkett, I remember just those 2 months, how in, I haven't forgot that, though that's 26 years ago. I want to tell you, I thank God for the preachers that God has placed in my life. Matter of fact, when you read Hebrews 13, amen, I don't want to bore you tonight, but when you read Hebrews 13 and verse 7, and it says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their... It's actually, when you look this up in the commentary, he's actually referring to men that have preached to you that have passed away. Amen, you think about that. Now I'll tell you something. You are what you are tonight. Amen, because God used a preacher to help you. Huh? Now I know, there's nobody here like this tonight. I don't feel like there's anybody like that here tonight. But I have met folks that just didn't seem like they needed a preacher. Amen. They were so spiritual, they didn't need a home church. Amen. It's not bad in the South, but boy, where I'm from, there's a group of people that don't have a home church. They don't have a pastor. You say, where do you go to church at? They'll say, well, brother, wherever the Spirit moves on me when I wake up on Sunday morning. Seriously, that's what they say. Amen. I mean, there's hundreds and literally thousands. Where do you go to church? Well, brother, on the first Sunday, I go over here. And on the second Sunday, I go over there. And on the third Sunday, amen. I'm thinking, but wait a second. My Bible teaches us to be a part of a local assembly. Is that all right? Amen. But I thank God for the preacher. I remember my second pastor, his name was Fred Disney. Amen. And I was about a little over 17 and a half. I stayed there for about a year under Brother Disney. And I remember, though, Church of God, man, again. And I remember, what did I learn from Brother Disney? Disney was a young preacher, probably in his 30s at that time. Boy, he was a fireball. Amen. And the church was excited about this new young pastor. I remember that. I remember, amen, hearing him preach. And boy, just he fed me, amen, like I never had been, because I was just a young, amen, Christian. Amen. I was just like a little bird in a nest. Amen. Taking in every word. Here was a new pastor. I wasn't used to all that. I didn't know all the pastors. I knew Brother Burkett, and here was a new pastor. Amen. But I look back over my life. Amen. Though he was Church of God, though I was Church of God. You know, some people, amen, God brings them out of something, and then they want to look back and say, everybody was a devil. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not that way. I thank God for Brother Burkett, amen, and what I learned from him. I thank God for Brother Disney, the year that I sat under him. I tell you what Brother Disney did do, and I've never seen it in any other home that I have ever stayed in, and since then, 25 years. I tell you, when it come bedtime, Brother Disney, a Church of God pastor, would gather his family. Me and his son would be in his room, amen. He'd say, all right, it's time to have devotion, amen. It'd be at 10 o'clock. We'd all gather in there. Amen. In the living room, we'd all get a Bible. Amen. And we'd sit around the living room, and we'd do like Sunday school. We'd read one verse at a time. We'd read a couple chapters, and the entire family, and me being just a visitor, spending the night Saturday night, would pray for 15 or 20 minutes. You know what? I've been in a lot of holiness homes across. I've never seen that. I've never forgot that. I never forgot. I learned that from the preacher. I learned that. I learned Brother Disney was a Bible reading man. He was the one, amen, who first introduced me a little bit to Bible dictionaries and get a good Webster's, amen, dictionary and Bible concordances. Amen. Thank God. What would we do without a preacher? Some of you had a good holiness mama or a daddy that taught you about God. But I didn't have that. So I'm really thankful for the preachers that God placed in my life. And I hear an amen. Amen. And the third pastor, his name was Brother Brock. His name was Sam's Brock. Amen. I had to leave the Church of God, didn't have to leave, but I was hitchhiking 17 miles down the road to the Church of God. Mom was at this time started going up the road about 4 miles to the little Pentecostal church. I look back now and I realize God was just drawing me out of that Church of God and into the independent. And I see that now, didn't see it then. Amen. And so I went up there to Brother Brock's church. I stayed there about 3 years under Brother Brock's ministry. Amen. Though he wasn't holiness, he wasn't charismatic, worldly. He was very sincere, very praying man, Bible reading man. I mean, you couldn't go to Brother Brock's house hardly unless he was sitting in his old easy chair. He's an older man, probably in his mid-60s back then, and he always kept a large print Bible, and he read the Bible all the time. You'd go in there, he'd be reading the Bible. You'd go in there, you could hear him praying. He was just a man of prayer. I'm talking about thank God for the preacher. Every preacher ain't committed adultery. Every preacher ain't went bad. Every preacher ain't out for the money. Every preacher ain't lazy. There is God called men of God. Amen. And I want to tell you, I thank God. I don't know why. I guess Brother Chris's past appreciation this morning got me to thinking, reminiscing, amen, about these pastors. And I began to pray and I said, Lord, amen, I realized, God, that the channel, the way you brought me through, at times I didn't think I can make it. But you know what? You know who encouraged me when I got discouraged? It wasn't my dad. It wasn't my dad that said, pat me on the back and said, go on, son, because he'd have been glad if I'd quit, Sister Lockhart. But it was the preacher. It was the preacher who took his arm around me and said, Brother Rick, you can make it. Stay on. Amen. Pray on, son. You can make it. You can do something for God. Never forgot that. I'd hate to see what my life would be hadn't been for the preacher. It was under Brother Brock's ministry. I didn't mention this morning, but it was under Brother Brock's ministry that I got called to preach. Got called to preach. Amen. Ignorant of the Bible. Didn't know anything about Bible school. Didn't know anything about commentaries or books or hardly anything. Brother Brock, amen, got me into reading some commentaries and amen, told me about Matthew Henry and told me about some others. And amen, gave me a few books of himself and never forgot that. I never forgot that. Amen. I appreciate God placing men in my life. Amen. That touched my heart for God. Huh? You say there's a lot of people, and I don't think there's nobody like that here tonight, but there's a lot of people that all they got is bad to say about the preacher. Past, present, and future. Why don't we just say a few good things about the preacher, huh? Amen. I got called to preach under Brother Brock, and it was there that Brother Brock asked me, he said, young man, he said, you need to be ordained. I didn't know what ordained was. He said, you need to be ordained. He said, we'll announce it. He said, he come to me and he put his arms around. He said, we'll announce you're going to be ordained about a month from now. He said, I'm going to be a fasting. He said, he was a faster. He fasted all the time, though he had diabetes. He fasted all the time. Brother Brock, he said, we're going to be fasting. Amen. And he asked me, who would I want to preach? I said, well, I'd like for you to say a few things. And I'd like for Brother Webb. I haven't talked to him in years, but maybe he will come. So I called him and he did come. But I remember, amen, Brother Webb and Brother Brock came. Brother Brock had fasted. He, amen. And I remember the night of the ordination, there was a big crowd there. Me and another boy was ordained in the ministry. And well, Brother Brock just prayed over me, cried over me, shed big tears. I mean, just cried and wept. I haven't forgot that. I haven't forgot, Brother David. Amen. The times that he encouraged me. Amen. The times that he put his arms around me. Yes, later in my ministry, I had to move on. Amen. But I'm sharing some good things with you this night. Amen. I'm telling you, I thank God for the preachers that God has placed in my life. You want God to get against you, you get against the preacher. You want God to shut off the blessings in your life, you get against the preacher. I'm not talking about me. No, I don't. There's nobody here like that. I don't know. If there is, I don't know. And if there is, don't tell me, please. Because I don't have anybody. No, I don't know. I haven't heard of anything. Amen. That's not the reason I'm preaching it. God knows my heart. Amen. But I'll tell you something. I have met people, amen, that get against the preacher. Amen. Don't do that. Amen. But it was Brother Brock. The fourth pastor, and I got to hurry. Amen. His name was Rodney Thompson. I stayed there for 2 years. That's when we got into holiness. And Brother Rodney, amen, taught me about holiness. Taught me about living right and being dedicated and God using my life if I would consecrate, if I would dedicate. Boy, those whole 2 years, he just emphasized, amen, to me as a young man. I mean, I was a young preacher boy that couldn't preach my way out of a brown paper bag. I didn't know. I'm ashamed. I don't even want to mention some of the things in the Bible. I didn't know, amen, but it was Brother Rodney who took the time, who took me out to eat, Brother Kobe, amen, just like I do some of the young folks and different things. It took the time and said things to me and stirred me in the right direction. Amen. And pointed me in the right direction and said, God wants to use you, Rick. And he'd point this out, he'd point that. But if you're going to be used in the holiness movement, you can't do this and you can't go there and you got to do this. And amen. And he taught me for 2 years, amen, about what was right. Amen. And just challenged my heart. Matter of fact, it was there that I feel like I made just a sort of a leap, amen, forward, if I can say it like that, amen, in my young life, because Rodney preached holiness and Rodney preached dedication and Brother Rodney preached prayer and he preached getting along with God and he preached about fasting. And I've seen a man's life, amen, who was different than all the other pastors. He was more stricter. He was more seemingly dedicated. He was more consecrated. I mean, his life was a life of sacrifice, amen, and it touched me and it challenged me. Thank God for the preacher. Where would you be at without a preacher? I went through the greatest trial of my life. I was going to Brother Brock's church. The greatest trial of my life. I've never told nobody here. You'll never hear me tell it. I'll never tell nobody. There's not a person in the entire holiness movement knows it. I'll never tell. I'll go to the grave with it. But when I went through the greatest trial of my entire life, you know who I went to? I went to a preacher. Am I making any sense? I went to a preacher. I didn't go to my daddy. I didn't go to my neighbor. I had some very close friends. I didn't even go to them. I went to a preacher. I went to a pastor's house. And I said, listen, I am into it. And I share with him. Amen. And he began to cry. Amen. And he just shook his head. He said, I don't know what to say, what to do. He said, all I know to do is pray. Amen. And he told me some scriptures. Amen. But I will tell you something. Amen. I am here today. God working through him, don't get me wrong, amen, because I went to a preacher, and in the multitude of counsel, the Bible says, there is what? Safety. Amen. He gave me words of wisdom. He gave me words of advice. Amen. Thank God for the preacher. Huh? Amen. When I was at Brother Brock's and amen and going to church and being ordained, and Brother Webb came there for my ordination service. Let me rewind a little bit. Amen. And I had a television then. You mean I got called to preach with a TV? I did. How sincere. Amen. Got called to preach. I had a television and been preaching maybe 6 months. And Brother Webb, he was there for 3 or 4 days of the ordination and had actually a little revival. Brother Webb come to my home and I remember specifically, amen, I wanted to watch something that I had recorded. It was a religious program. Brother Webb said, I don't do that. And he's pretty stern toward me, hurt my feelings, be honest with you. Amen. And talked to me a little bit about that. Amen. And I remember, boy, I got a little upset with him, not much. Amen. But I got a little upset with him. But it was Brother Webb, amen, who talked to me and said, listen, if you want to be used in a ministry, if you want your life to be used of God, amen, and God put his anointing on your family, your home, he said, you don't want anything to do with the world. It took me about a week, Brother Joe, to pray through about it. That was a little tough knowing that my own pastor had a television, amen, and my mom had just a television all around me. It was a little sort of different. I mean, just brand spanking. I never heard of it. I didn't know nobody that didn't have a television. Amen. But boy, you know what? Though the Lord had been dealing with me, even when I got called to preach, when I would watch that thing, he'd deal with me. Amen. But yet here come a preacher, shared his heart. He was so stern at first that he come back the next day and apologized, Brother Webb, not for what he said, but how he said it. Amen. But you know, it got on my heart. Amen. And I'm thankful to God. That's how I got rid of it. I don't know if I've ever shared that. Why? Because of a preacher telling me the truth. Where would we be without a preacher? Brother Joe, where would you be without Brother Turner? I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about where would you be, Brother Joe? How long did you sit under Brother Turner? 15 years? 25 or more years? Am I telling the right? You look back, you'd be a little scared to think of your life without Brother Turner being there. Why? Because you think of trouble and situations that you went to the preacher, huh? Ask him to pray for you. Share some things. And no doubt, amen, things you've shared with nobody else, maybe only your wife. Amen. What about this, Brother Turner? What about that? Amen. And Brother Turner would pray and seek the face of God. Amen. And yet, here you are, 30 years, 40 years now down from being saved, and you look back and you say, thank God for the preacher, God, that you put in my life. Amen. Some of you, I've heard, amen, since I've been here, I can tell that this church loved Brother Willie Ray. There ain't a doubt in my mind. Oh, I'm telling you, what a man. I wish I knew him, Sister Veda. I mean, I've not heard one bad remark from the locals here to every visitor. I mean, every person. Amen. A lot of people has come to me and said, where do you pastor? I say, Brother Gentry's old church. Oh, we went there when Brother Willie Ray was there. And they would tell me a story. They would tell me of a time that they would come here. You could tell that he was loved and a man of compassion. If there's been one thing I've heard about Brother Willie Ray, am I telling it right? Amen. He was a man that loved people. He was a man of compassion. I tell you, man, you're talking about something that God blesses a people. When he blesses a people with a pastor, with a preacher, our lives would be miserable, hopeless, if it wasn't for a preacher. I'm not just talking about a pastor. I mean evangelist, missionary, jail ministry, prison ministry, street ministry, campus ministry. You name it, God. Why does God send preachers so this world can hear the gospel, amen, of Jesus Christ? Oh, thank God for the preacher. I know Brother Willie Ray's passed on, but we ought to say, Lord, thank you for putting him in our path. Thank you, Lord, for putting Sister Veda, Lord Willie Ray and Veda in our path. Thank you, Lord, because when Brother Willie Ray didn't have a big crowd and he was just getting started, no doubt I haven't heard, amen, but it was probably a little rough, Sister Veda. There was probably some times that financially it was just hard to pay the light bill. Amen. Wasn't a fancy building like this back then. Amen. But there was just a man with a burden and with a call of God. And I'll tell you something, Brother Willie Ray had a wife. Amen. Sister Veda Gentry. Amen. You need to get up with Daniel Webster, which he's probably dead now, I guess. Amen. But you need to get up who's in charge of that. Amen. And when you look up the word Christian, it needs to have Sister Veda's picture right there beside of the word Christian. Amen. And said, here is a prime example of it. Is that all right? Okay. Three of you think so. Is that all right? Amen. Thank you. I know you just being quiet. Amen. Is it all right to pat somebody on the back? Amen. I don't want to stand on the other side, do you? Amen. I want to walk across, amen, and give somebody a few roses while they're still living. Let's don't wait till they die. Stand over the grave and say, oh my, wasn't she a good lady? Oh my, she's short. Why don't we just pass her, amen, and you think of people that God placed in your life. Thank God for the preacher. You might not like to think like this, and I wasn't here back then, and I sure don't want to step out of bounds, but I've got a funny feeling that this church wouldn't be here hadn't been for the preacher. I know it was the people together who put all their money together, but it was a man who God sent. Thank God for the preacher. His church has had some awesome pastors. I'm the least among them. The lowest, the least. Why? I mean, men like Steve Gentry. What a preacher. Brother Steve could have any church in the entire holiness movement. Do y'all know that? He is that well liked, that well thought of. He doesn't have to settle nowhere. What a preacher, what a pastor. Then God sent Brother Shannon. I'm telling you, what would we do without a preacher? I know we'll forget. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I never forget being at Brother Benny Southern's camp meeting several years ago. And Brother Joey Hyatt was preaching that night. It just came to me. I hadn't thought of this in years. But Brother Hyatt was preaching sort of, not this message by any means, but just preaching on, you know, the preachers and things of that nature. And there was probably 500 or 600 people there. Of course, you hear me, knows Brother Joey Hyatt. He preaches a little strange. He's a little odd. Amen. He's a little humorous if you ain't known him. I don't mean that bad sense, but he just preaches different. And so he said, I want every preacher in the house to get up and go outside. It was in August. So about 100 people stands up. I mean, the pastor included. And everybody goes outside. Then he preaches about 15 minutes more while we're all outside. I got the CD or tape back then and heard it. He said, now what will you do if you went go back to your home church and you didn't have a pastor? You didn't have a preacher to call, amen, when you were sick. You didn't have a preacher to pray over your baby when you were dedicated. You didn't have a preacher to preach at a funeral. What would you do? Boy, you could just tell. It just mesmerized, amen, that meeting. And only God knows the purpose of that. And I'll tell you, I look back, I thank God for every pastor, every preacher friend, amen, that has touched my life for God. Oh, I know there's some people that's so spiritual, amen, that they couldn't give an encouragement word from a past preacher, amen, to save their life. And I'll tell you, if it hadn't been for the preacher, amen, I don't think I'd ever be saved. Because it was a preacher who first told me the gospel when I got saved. The last pastor, and I want to close, of course, is Brother Gabbard. I've been there since 1989 for 20 years now. Amen. Brother Gabbard has been a pastor that has brought accountability to my life. You mean a pastor has to have a pastor? Yeah. Can I tell you a little secret? If I know of a preacher that don't have a pastor, he won't preach here. I don't care who it is. If I know a preacher that doesn't sit somewhere under a home church, he might never be there. He might be pastoring himself. He might be evangelist. He might not be there once a year, but he's got a pastor that he's accountable to. And believe me, there's some preachers out there that don't want to sit under anybody. Amen. They want to be their own big dog, and they don't want to sit under anybody, be accountable to anybody. But everybody needs a pastor. I got a pastor. Huh? Amen. I have seen young preacher boys who, amen, that just, you know, just thought they was going to do their own thing and had prayed and been on the 40-day fast, supposedly just thought they were so spiritual that they just didn't need a pastor. Matter of fact, I told one of them, I said, you're crazy. God didn't tell you you didn't need a pastor. You need a pastor more than you need a mama. But you got to have a mama, of course. Of course, but you get the point. You got to have a pastor. Matter of fact, that preacher that I told that preached in our camp meeting this year. I ain't going to tell you which one. But when he's just a young boy, he got full of zeal and full of fire. And he fasted and he prayed. And boy, he just got all excited and got involved with street. He didn't need a just pastor holds you down. And pastor does it. I said, man, that's the most craziest, idiotic thing I've ever heard. No, a true pastor will push you for God. A true pastor will, amen, just give you that accountability that you need. I think Brother Gabbard has been that for me. I remember one time Brother Gabbard called me. Matter of fact, out of all my pastors, I've only been God on once or twice. Brother Gabbard called me one time. This has probably been 10 or 12 years ago. Come to the piano, Hope, please. Oh, Brother John called me one time, and he thought that I had made a decision about something, and he looked at it different. He looked at it at a wrong angle, and he called me, and he wasn't chewing me out. He don't do that. But he was calling me and said, listen, I don't understand about this. But he said, I sure don't like the way this looks that you did this right here. And I won't get into it. But I said, Brother John, that's not the way it was. I said, here's what happened. Here's why I made this decision. And it was something simple, very simple. I told you, you'd probably laugh. But anyways, I shared it with him. And he said, oh, okay, that helps me. He said, I just didn't want to, I didn't agree. We know I've been here 20 years, and that's the only time he's ever called me. You know, to say something. But anyways, here's this. But when I got off the phone, the flesh rose up in me. The flesh rose up and said, who does he think he is? I'm 30-some year old. I'm pastoring a church, and he's going to call me? I know y'all probably never think like that, do you? But I can be honest with you, and I'm glad to say that only lasted for about 45 seconds. I took note of that about 45 seconds, and I said, whoa, wait a second here. He'd been my friend for 10 long years. He'd been my friend for 10, 12 long years. He stood by me when it seemed like everybody else was against me. Amen. He's helped me. He's put money in my pocket. He's put food on my table. He's helped me. And I said, shut up, devil. Get out of here. Amen. I ain't believing that. Amen. I ain't going to, you know. The devil just, I call him Mac. I just tell him, shut up. No, I didn't do that. Huh? I said, because he got 200 members, got a lot on his mind, and probably from his angle looking over at it, not knowing the whole story, he probably was concerned. But soon as I shared with him, amen, the whole story, the other side of the coin, so to speak, amen, he just, oh, I didn't realize that. Amen, we appreciate you, Brother Rick, and love you, and moved on. But how easy it is to get a disgruntled. Can I tell you, when my wife was sick for 3.5 years, she'd have those seizures all through the night for 3.5 years. You want me to tell you who I'd call at 3:30 in the morning? I'd call Brother Gabbard. Amen. For a year and a half, when she had those seizures for a year and a half, I probably called him 95% of the time, every time she had one. If it was 4 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in a day, I'd call him. And I want to share something with you. Amen. He never, never, never in 3.5 years, I never sensed it in his voice that he wished I hadn't called him. I've called some preachers at 3 o'clock in the morning for prayer, and they got a little upset and, oh, you need prayer, you know, like that. I'm thinking of one person in another state, but I won't go there. Amen. But I never heard that from Brother Gabbard. I tell you what Brother Gabbard would say. I'd say, Brother, I'd be crying sometimes. I said, Brother John, she's having a very bad one. It's been an hour and a half. Would you please pray? I know it's 3:30. Amen. And he would say, Brother Rick, he said, I'll get out of bed. We'll pray right now. That's a preacher. That's a true, genuine preacher. Amen. Thank God for the preachers. Amen. I'm glad that God has put preachers in my life. I've called men like Wendell Pittman when I was making moves in my ministry. Amen. You know what? It won't hurt you to ask for a preacher to pray. You mean, Brother Simpson, you would if you was 43 and if you was to, you know what? I'll tell you what I'd do if I was to, if, now this is me personally. I'm not telling you what to do. This is what I'll tell you, how much confidence I got in my pastor. Amen. And other preacher friends, Brother Pittman and different ones, Brother Russell McDonald, another one I confide in at times. I'd call these brothers and say, listen, brother, I'm fixing to spend so and so much on a house, and I don't want to miss God. Would you please help me pray about this? You mean you would? I mean exactly that, because I know God even helps preachers and moves through preachers. Can anybody here, and I know some of you wasn't here then, but can some of the elders here, some of the older saints that's been here at Summit for a while, can you reminisce a little bit in your mind some of the things that Brother Willie Ray helped you with? I've heard Sister Paula and Brother Ronnie tell those stories and how they got saved, and Brother Willie Ray just took them in like one of their children. I love that. I love that. Brother Steve Gentry, Brother Shannon. I'll tell you what the devil will do. Listen to me before I close. Let me tell you what the devil will do. The devil sometimes will get you to look at a preacher or a pastor, present or past, doesn't matter. And he'll get you to magnify one thing, something maybe they wasn't there for you on, or maybe something they said. Better be careful with that. Brother Ronnie, would you care to cut that off, please?